Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard. Today we're going to talk about hormones. And we're going to talk about hormones because there was an article written in The Guardian, and it was written as sort of a overall overview of a book by a woman named Vivian Perry.
Right.
And the book is called The Truth About Hormones.
Mm-hmm.
That it was published in 2005, so it's a little bit of an older book. But it's all about, the title of the Guardian article mm-hmm. It's not just the hormones.
Right.
It's not just the hormones is the name of the article.
Right.
We'll put the link in the show notes, but it's another one of those longer articles.
Right.
It's sort of, I guess on that we would call it a article as opposed to a blog post or something like that, because it's a little bit longer.
This is more than just a blog.
Yeah.
And I'm going to need my glasses for this. I'm going to need my notes for this. This is a long and dense
mm-hmm.
Journey.
Yeah. But we'll make it short and sweet.
It reminds me of the maze from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Goblet of Fire.
Yeah.
They got in that maze.
That was a good movie.
I saw
that
the other night.
But Cedric Diggory.
Didn't make it. So he'd become a vampire.
Right.
Okay.
Good old Edward.
What I like, when I saw the article, it's not just the hormones, and then there was a little ellipse, which means there's more to it than
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
Our interest in this is that we learned in the 90s, there was, for a very long time, in fact, probably when you were trained, you were mm-hmm. told that you have 100 billion neurons at birth,
right,
and that's all you're going to have.
Right.
And then in the mid-90s, we learned that, no, that's not quite true, that
right.
there were two times mm-hmm. during child development where the brain produces millions of new neurons, perhaps
right.
maybe hundreds of millions of new neurons. One of those times is during the teenage years. So
right.
this is about the about adolescence.
Right.
It's about what happens at puberty. And the conventional wisdom is that, conventional wisdom is that, I don't know what else to call it, the myth of it, it's not a myth,
yeah.
Is that at the time of puberty,
mm-hmm.
the brain gets flooded with all these hormones.
Right.
And it's that flood of hormones that explains why teenagers act the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
What Vivian Perry is saying is that it's not quite the case.
Right.
And that's what I like about this, is that she's bringing a whole new perspective to this issue of adolescent emotion and behavior.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we know that there are lots more involved, not
mm-hmm.
just biologically.
Right.
There's a lot more going on psychosocially.
Mm-hmm.
And I say psychosocially because psychologically there's things happening and socially there's things happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, psychologically we have this whole idea of identifying who they are, you know.
Right.
We're both big fans of Erik Erikson, and he talked about, you know, that this stage of development where they're trying to identify themselves
mm-hmm.
and either identify themselves or not identify themselves. And
right.
that's going to sort of lay the groundwork for some either good things or challenging
right.
things in the future.
Adds to it.
Mm-hmm. The social aspect, of course, is the relationships. And, you
right.
know, as we go through puberty, the big thing there, and this is related to the hormones, of course, mm-hmm. is the ability to reproduce.
Right.
And so that creates a drive to form relationships, not just with same-sex
mm-hmm.
friends and colleagues
right.
and allies and things like that, but also with opposite gender, you know, if we're anticipating relationships
right.
for procreating and that kind of
right.
stuff. So, you know, you have these two, those are internal, external types of
right.
motivators, but also there's more biology besides
mm-hmm.
just hormones.
Yeah. And what I like to remember about adolescence, and I'm constantly reminding myself, adolescence is not well understood. Okay.
Right.
As much as we know about it, there's so much that we don't know about it. And we know there's this enormous variability among adolescents.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Adolescence is a transition.
Right.
Okay. So first of all, it's a transition from childhood to adulthood. And the most important difference between a child and an adult is the ability to reproduce the species.
Right.
So, for all intents and purposes, puberty is about reproduction.
Right.
It's about the ability to reproduce.
Right.
To do so, you need hormones.
Right.
You need sex hormones, but they're not the only hormones that you need.
Right.
Okay. They're the dominant ones mm-hmm. for this transition. Now, every mammalian species goes through this transition.
Right.
We only do it once.
Right.
Many species do it several times. Mm-hmm. Many species do it each time they reproduce. They go through this adolescent transformation.
Right.
Our species only does it once, but it takes us longer to do it.
Right.
Okay. And during the process, we produce all these new hormones. Mm-hmm. The sex hormones, testosterone and estrogen, have been the topic of most mm-hmm. of the study
right.
because they are the most important ones.
Right.
Now I'm going to go to my notes while you're talking.
You're going to go to your notes?
I am.
All right.
Because there are some things I want to make sure that I say, and I'm going to forget them if I don't.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Well, so testosterone and estrogen obviously are probably the most well-known mm-hmm. to non-researchers, non-scientists. And we know that, of course, mm-hmm. testosterone is more associated with males and estrogen is more associated right. with females, though we each have the other.
Right.
So males have right. certain levels of estrogen and females have some levels of testosterone. And to some extent, that's what differentiates some of the different characteristics we see in whether it's personality or activity level
right.
or interactions with others mm-hmm. and those kinds of things.
Don't you wonder if female athletes have more testosterone?
I had a feeling you're going to ask me that. Because I didn't research it. I was going to look up. Mm-hmm. I think I read an article where it said they do.
They do
have a little bit more because they.
It's a little more muscle.
Testosterone allows you to build a little bit more muscle. It provides more. It allows for more endurance mm-hmm. and more physicality.
Right.
In general, and you know the. I think that I read an article where it said that, yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I have to go back and find it.
We have to go back and because we hate to generalize
right,
with
right.
these topics because they are sensitive, because there's a social aspect,
right.
a socio-political aspect to all of this stuff. But one of the things that, one of the points she makes mm-hmm. about testosterone and estrogen is that a boy who has just gone through puberty will produce 50 times
right.
as much testosterone as a pre-pubertal adolescent. The point she makes, though, is that though you have the capacity to reproduce mm-hmm. as soon as you go through puberty, the mean age is closer to 18 or 19.
Right.
Okay. So that you have the capacity. You and I both did neonatal medicine for
right.
a long time. And we know that teenage pregnancy is the major cause
right.
of premature delivery.
Right.
So while you can get pregnant,
right.
your body is not quite
ready
because mm-hmm. there isn't enough fat in your body. That's the reason girls get their figure changes with the onset of puberty.
Right.
Because you have to have places to store fat.
Right.
Okay? In case there's a famine, there's enough right. fat in your body to sustain the fetus. But the prime time for reproduction worldwide is 18 or 19.
Right.
I think it's 19 for boys, mm-hmm. age 19 for boys, and age 18 for girls.
Right.
So we don't actually reproduce until much later. So her argument is there is obviously something else happening
mm-hmm.
during this transition period.
Right.
It's not just the hormones.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And we know that when we, you know, some of those drives that we have,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's the drive to reproduce or the drive to the tendency to become more aggressive or more
right.
Those kinds of things are oftentimes associated with increases in some of these
right.
Hormones. And we also know that people who reach puberty earlier
right.
It's associated with a spike, an earlier than expected spike in some of these hormones.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the really interesting thing, I think, is that it are those people who tend to hit puberty later than expected.
Yeah, like if you're 14 or 15 or 16, which
right.
is not uncommon.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you start having that increase, then it sometimes introduces other social and emotional right. types of challenges. Just an interesting little side note is, one of the, I guess it's a hormone, DHEA.
Yes.
Is a very common substance that we find in adolescents, and they sell it as supplements that you can get, and adults often will take that because, hey, you know, this is something that's present in adolescence, so it helps you get fit. You know, it's something associated with fitness. And
right.
But it's also associated with, if you take too much of it, psychosis and right. acne and all those other things that you see right. in adolescence. So, you know, as you said, you know, there's so much involved in all of this that it's not just a couple of hormones that's, you know, creating this havoc. There's right. other stuff.
And that's the important message, I think, for teens and for their parents, is that don't oversimplify. It's like digestion, you know, it's a complicated process.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Lots of multi-organ contributions. Mm-hmm. It's the same with this. It's not just, I used to think, and I knew about this, I taught it for a long time. I used to think that, well, you have elevated testosterone, so you have increased aggression and increased sexuality. May not be that simple. I mean, right. we castrate horses so that they're tame. We don't castrate race horses.
Right.
Okay. They remain because we want them to be aggressive.
Right.
We want them to be a little bit aggressive and a little wild.
Vigorous.
Right. Mm-hmm. But if we want to domesticate the horse and hook it up to a plow or have our grandchildren ride it, then we would castrate the horse and it would calm down a little bit. And the assumption was, well, it's the testosterone that's driving it.
Yeah.
What Perry is saying is, not so fast.
Right.
It may be that aggression creates increases testosterone.
Right.
You know, and that's a whole other way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was fascinating to me because I know about this stuff.
Right.
I've read about it and studied it for a long time. And I was under the assumption that testosterone levels increased aggression.
You know what it made me think of was about a month ago or so, we did a series of podcasts on emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about, okay, so does the emotion cause the physiological...
Right.
Or does the physiological cause the interpretation of the emotion... The interpretation of the physiological identify the emotion or...
And we have the same thing with 5-HTP, don't we? That is it causal or is it
right.
the result of?
Right.
You know, why are we producing this extra?
Well, it's there's so many
5-HTP.
Things that
because right.
the other one is I don't know how interesting this will be to listeners, but since you brought it up, the antipsychotic medications.
They find that
people who they often said that people with schizophrenia. That their brain volume it was
right.
less dense and
right.
smaller, and then they found that just taking antipsychotics. Well, they started to ask the question: is does taking antipsychotics over a prolonged period of time does that decrease the density of your brain?
Right,
shrink your brain. And so, okay, so is it the schizophrenia that's a result of the shrinking brain and then you're on antipsychotics, or do antipsychotics result in the shrinking brain that creates the neuropsychological aspects of it? I'm just saying.
No, it's there was another theory.
It's because of our field, man. That's what I think it is.
What do you mean our field?
Our field has historically had such a difficult time doing real scientific research.
Right.
I mean, because we jump on bandwagons about things, and you know, the 1950s, you know, that decade, it's like they happen to find something by accident, and all of a sudden that dictates the entire field.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks. I know this isn't interesting to everybody, but we'll talk about it sometime.
No, it's true, because the other thing that the other point she makes is that I know what I wanted to say, that as your status in the group rises, testosterone levels increase.
Mm-hmm.
So we say, well, is it elevated testosterone that makes you more aggressive? Or is it that as your status in the group rises, testosterone levels increase? And as your status in the group declines, your testosterone levels decline.
Right.
So... This is the hormone may be responding to circumstances.
Right. And this is seen in other animals as well.
Mm-hmm.
Namely,
the silverback gorillas.
silverback gorillas, but also hyenas on the, right. you know, for the other gender.
Right.
Where the female hyena, mm-hmm. you know, as she rises in power, you see she has elevated levels of testosterone.
And is it because, right.
Right.
Which comes first?
Right.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. And so that's what Perry is, the point she's making in this article, mm-hmm. is that it may not be just raging hormones. It could be more complex than that. The other thing she says is that it may not be elevated testosterone in boys that makes them aggressive. It may be deprivation. They have nothing. If you have nothing to lose, you tend to be more... Mm-hmm. Your tendency is to become more aggressive because you have nothing to lose.
Right.
Okay, well, do the haves have more testosterone? You know, so which is it? And so there is a social aspect to this stuff, mm-hmm. that we ought to be. There's certainly a child rearing aspect to it, and it's changed my opinion. And I'm going to be using her work in some of the work that we're doing that you and I have coming up in the remainder of 2017. And we're going to be introducing these ideas into some of the other work that we're doing.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Well, it certainly, it certainly has an impact on the way that we have to think about things. And did you have other points? Because I think it will be important that we kind of bring it around to, okay, so what does this potentially mean for what we do about it, or how can we use this information? But I didn't want to jump ahead of you. Okay, so you might ask, who cares about all of this stuff? Well, let me tell you why we should care about this. If it's indeed correct that position can influence the presentation of hormones, if it's indeed true that, and really this, we're talking about epigenetics, you know, the way in which our environment and our experiences mm-hmm. influence the production or the expression of our genetic expectations. If that's the case, then what we can do, we can use that. Because there's nothing that I can do except give you, you know, a shot of testosterone or give you some stuff to rub on your skin to increase your testosterone. Typically, there's nothing that I can do directly to increase your testosterone mm-hmm. or estrogen for that matter, except giving you hormone treatment. However, if what Perry is talking about is correct, mm-hmm. what that means is that we can create circumstances that could potentially increase these hormones and get them to a more balanced and healthy level.
That, I think, is the important message. Yeah. I think the important message here is epigenetics. And that's where this is going, is that you can create circumstances that will diminish mm-hmm. hormones.
Right.
Well, then, conversely, I mean, it only makes logical sense that there should be circumstances that will increase testosterone or estrogen or oxytocin or any of these hormones.
Right. And that's sort of assuming at some level that, you know, your adrenals and other glands haven't been exhausted and that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. It's assuming that there's no medical issue.
Right.
However, you know, we have lots of adolescents who are otherwise perfectly healthy mm-hmm. who have either reached puberty early or have not yet reached puberty mm-hmm. And they're in their mid to late teens, then we might be able to create circumstances to help them progress along that mm-hmm. path so that they can, you know, become more developmentally typical along the expected track.
Right.
So.
And you wonder about the variability of testosterone. Not every adolescent boy produces exactly the same amount. Mm-hmm. And so you have those who are endowed with elevated testosterone mm-hmm. that may be more athletic, that may be more physical. Mm-hmm. And once again, if you're more athletic and you're more physical, you tend to be socially rewarded for that.
Right.
You know, the football player and the basketball star and mm-hmm. the baseball star. And so you're getting all these social approbation, social rewards. You're status in the group rises, your mm-hmm. testosterone levels rise, But then you have to think about the other boys whose status in the group mm-hmm. diminishes, so they're producing less testosterone, but we ask them to be more assertive.
Right.
You know, well, if you're just more assertive, you know, you could accomplish some of these things.
Yeah.
They have low testosterone. They're not going to be assertive.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if there's like this, what do they call it, a zero net...
net sum,
yeah, something like that. where, you know,
zero sum game,
mm-hmm. where there's only so much in a particular group.
Right.
So, because you can only have so many people at the top, and
that's right.
the rest of people have to be mm-hmm. on some spectrum.
Yeah, everybody
below.
Can't be a leader,
right? And right. so, does that mean that zero sum game? Yeah, mm-hmm. is that what you said? That yeah, it's there's only so much, and so as one person increases, that means that somebody else is going to decrease.
Has to diminish.
And so
Einstein said that.
Did he?
Mass is a constant.
You know Einstein. He did everything before his 30s.
If you're
After
losing,
that, he was,
but if you're losing weight.
I only say that because of what you said this morning.
Somebody else has to be gaining it.
That's true.
It doesn't go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So. No, you're right. You can't, everybody can't be a leader. You know, people say, well, you should be an entrepreneur. You should be a business owner, you know,
right.
if you want. Well,
everybody
can't be the owner.
Right.
Somebody has to do the work. And so just the way we're structured, mm-hmm. somebody has to do the work. And it's the same here.
Right.
There can only be one leader. And we see this in schools all the time. If you go to a school with 5,000 students, only the top mm-hmm. athletes are going to be participating.
Right.
Whereas
right.
if you go to a school with 200 students, all those kids who couldn't participate at the big school are able to participate at the smaller school.
Yeah, but there's still some kids who can't participate.
But there's still be kids who can't participate.
Right.
Right. There's always, yeah, there's always going to be that variation.
Yeah.
So I just love, I love this woman's work. It was stimulating.
Mm-hmm. It's a great
brought
article.
A whole new perspective. And there's a ton of stuff that we haven't even talked about
right.
that's in this article.
Yeah, because it's really in depth.
Right. But we're going to be discussing it as we go along. We might take another crack at this one because there's stuff at the end that we may want to talk about. But I think you get the message.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
It's more complicated than just raging hormones.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So,
yeah. and don't, right. and please don't forget. I'm glad you mentioned epigenetics.
Yeah.
You know that environment can affect all that.
Oh,
does
absolutely.
Affect all this stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, all right. This is a little bit longer of a podcast.
Yeah, I know.
Than we typically do on the weekdays, but
yeah.
Check out the link in the show notes to read the article. You'll enjoy
right.
it. So, all right.
It's
that's
a good
it.
One.
So, until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.